This is Adrian here, just with a quick editor's note. Due to a technical glitch, the audio quality for this episode isn't quite up to our usual standards, so we do apologize. We will correct this for next time. Thanks for listening, and hope you enjoy.
If you think it can't get worse, it can, and it will. The dying's not done, the killing's not done.
I promised my crew a long time ago I'd keep them alive.
I was afraid you were dead. Where's the rest of Thurpitan? We're it.
Sergeant Collier, I'm your new assistant driver.
Tank school?
That's home.
I've never even seen the inside of a tank.
You will. I started this war killing Germans in Africa. Now I'm killing Germans in Germany. Been with these fine gentlemen for years.
These troops get by you. We're all dead in the water. All we got is you.
I won't ask you to do anything I haven't done myself.
Comm check.
Photo check.
Brady check.
Bob check.
Bob check.
Get out! Do your job! Do what you're here for!
Ideals are peaceful. History is violent.
Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we are on episode 16, and we're finally back from our festival craziness.
Wow. What a month.
That was a hell of a month, man. Like, I did Fantastic Fest, and I think I did about 6 days of Viv, but you did, like, the full thing.
Yeah, I had this, now that I think about it, pretty impossible notion that I could do 150 films in a month. And I got to 144, and literally, that was it.
Yeah,
I had nothing left. Like, I was just done. We were coming home on the ferry. We were sitting in the cafeteria eating our food, and I got to get up, and I almost fell over.
Yeah, dude, I got pretty worried about you. You like looked like you were about to pass out.
I spent the entire month propping myself up with energy drinks and the worst food you could possibly think of, and it's completely not healthy. So next year, if anything, I'm going to try to maybe only see 120 films, because I was sick the whole week I got back.
That's unreal.
I had a headache. I tried to watch a movie at a theater, and my eyes wouldn't focus.
Really?
It was so fucked up.
Damn.
It was really not cool, and I had a lot of fun, but next year I am taking it easy, man.
That's insane, too, because, like, 120 is, like, not taking it easy.
Oh, totally.
That's insane, dude.
Yeah, most people see that in, like, 5 years.
And it's funny because, like, going in, my goal was about 70. People at work were like, oh, that's crazy. And I think I, you know, only, quote-unquote, only saw about 45 or 50.
Dude, you officially have to wear a fucking hazmat suit.
Totally.
Yeah, because you get sick, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, what was it, like, 3 days into Fantastic Fest, I got sick. I got the Fantastic Fest flu. My energy was low. I couldn't talk. My voice was sore. Chest was sore.
Sucks too, because you missed some films, man, and I totally wish you could have seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, I work at a pharmacy. I don't get sick.
Yeah.
Like, I get people coughing on me and handing me their dirty money all day, and I don't get sick. So, when I go to Film Fest, I run pretty hard.
That's awesome.
Not
awesome.
Like your goddamn brother.
He was, like, up at press screenings in the morning and drinking, getting drunk every single night.
New rule. Do not try to outdo Kyle Charlie. It ain't happening.
No.
Michael was a beast.
Yeah. I was the final night of Fantastic Fest, the closing night party. I think Sarah and I left at around 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I went to Kyle. I was like, dude, you got to get back because his flight was at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, yeah, I'll be back.
Didn't he have to be like at draft house by like 7 or something like that?
Yeah, so I woke up in the morning. I actually set myself an alarm just to make sure I could wake him up. I woke up at 6 in the morning. He still wasn't home. I was like, holy shit. So I sent a message. I was like, has anybody seen my brother? And like 10 minutes later, he rolls in and packs up really quickly and takes off. And he actually missed his ferry that he was going to catch home. He had a 30-minute window from landing to get to the bus stop at Bridgeport Station. Missed his ferry. Missed the bus, so he missed the ferry. So he actually had to wait for us to get back. And he was dog tired, man.
Oh, man, kudos to him, though. He did it right. I was very reserved. I treated Fantastic Fest like it was like a regular film festival. Like, got to get my seat, got to get my movies.
Yeah.
And I was very tight. Next year, I will be a lot more loose. I will say this.
Yeah, it's a different film festival. It's
totally different film. You told me beforehand, too, and I totally didn't listen to you.
Yeah, because you've got, like, an hour between screenings.
Oh, totally. Like, I could have played it way looser, and I didn't. And I kind of regret it, but I still had a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's hard not to have fun at that festival.
Adrian's still sick.
Yeah, still have a dry cough. It's been, like, a month. It's insane.
Yeah, like, it's... I had a headache all last week.
Yeah.
And I just finally got rid of it.
That's insane, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting off like Rockstar, Red Bull, whatever energy drinks, it's like getting off heroin.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I've never tried heroin.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, remember that guy? I mentioned this to you during VIF, I think. The officer from the Hurt Locker, where he goes to Renner and he's like, How many bombs have you disarmed? And tells him his number. He's like, you're a wild man. And I was like, I felt like that guy, but you're like the crazy moviegoer, disarming bombs, seeing lots of movies. Kudos to you, man. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
So we're back in the real world now.
It's weird. I'm back at work. You're back at work?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not having to go and watch movies. Having to like, follow like a work schedule, talk to people that you supposedly like.
That's right. You've seen everyday people.
Fuck.
Friends and family. They all exist again.
Yeah, it's weird.
And like while we were at the festivals, the outside world did not exist to me. It was like,
other than sports.
Yeah.
Nothing. It was straight movies.
Yeah.
Like, I really wanted to hit that 150.
Close, man. It was close.
Yeah. If I was able to have watched movies on travel days, like watching a movie on a plane is impossible.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Watching a movie in an airport is impossible. Especially when you haven't slept in like 16 hours.
Yeah.
And like coming back from Fantastic Fest, I was dead tired like a day and a half into that festival.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're like watching screeners
totally.
Between the nights.
Totally.
Like it's insane.
I'm stupid.
Back to the real world, which for both of us, mostly involves sports. Liverpool had a really ugly game today against Queen's Park Rangers. There was 2 own goals. Queen's Park Rangers scored for Liverpool.
Queen's Park Rangers hasn't won a game this year.
Yeah. Yeah, and they almost beat Liverpool.
Almost.
They were so close. And then
Liverpool scored in the last, like, 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah. That was insane.
Ugh.
You posted that funny picture where the 2 guys from Queen's Park Rangers have scored more goals for Liverpool than Balotelli has scored for Liverpool.
Fucking Balotelli, man.
He just does not give a shit.
No,
and he's looking like a total bust. And I was optimistic, and you and Marco told me the same thing. You're like, he's a total diva. He's only going to shoot, not a team player. And I was like, well, maybe things have changed, but
when,
no.
When he's going, he's really good, but he just pouts all the time.
Like, he was not creating space like a striker should. He was not moving to the ball, not forcing any action. He was just hoping the action would come to him all day. So, oh well. Hope he improves.
Fuck Liverpool.
Fuck you.
Man United is in 4th.
That's right.
After a rough start.
Yeah.
Looking tomorrow, we got West Brom, and then the next 2 weeks we have Chelsea and Man City. True test.
Yeah, that's go time right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, totally. And and my Red Wings took out the Leafs last night, 1-0. Henrik Zetterberg with like 10 seconds to go in OT.
That was a beautiful
one. I was jumping up and down like a madman.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
I love one-timer goals like that. Yeah. Especially in overtime, it's so sweet.
Yeah, bar in too. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so beautiful.
You get the ping and then the celebration and you're just like, yeah.
A buddy of mine went to the Canuck game last night and he went to get his beer thinking, you know, I got time. He missed Stamkos's breakaway goal 30 seconds into the game.
Yeah, that's a mistake, man.
Yeah. Stamkos guy, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good at hockey.
Yeah.
He's a game breaker. So yeah, the Canucks
doing better than I thought they would.
Well, they lost to the first NHL team they've played all season. So they played the Flames and the Oilers
twice.
Yeah,
yeah.
But oh well.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
Okay, so I guess we should move on to our next segment, the 60-second rant, where we both take 60 seconds or longer. We make the rules.
I've never been 60 seconds.
To rant about anything film related.
I only have one this time.
Only one. Yeah. Bill usually has like seven. Three. and then he'll chime in on mine as well.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. This is just a pet peeve of mine. People who are really into film formats and not the actual film. Getting really tired of people talking about how they just have to see Interstellar in 1570 IMAX. What about the film? Who cares what you see it in?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to see it in like 4K digital projection.
Yeah.
And it's going to look stunning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm, you know, whatever. If you want to see it in that, try to find one of the 20 theaters in North America that's playing it. Good on you.
Yeah. I think the closest one to us is Calgary. I think I looked it up. I don't think Richmond's getting
not playing it.
I don't think really? They're getting it.
Weird.
Which is bull.
They played the Batman movie in IMAX.
Yeah.
But yeah, just everybody, just stop being elitist film snobs and just watch the damn film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that too much to ask? Obviously it is.
Yeah, there's something going on when, like, I can see getting really excited about it and stuff, and people are calling him the savior of 35mm. It's a crying whimper at this point. Everybody's converted to digital. We're in a digital age now, and it's too bad. It does suck. It does suck, because 35mm projected really well is great.
You know what, though? We saw Assassination of Jesse James at the Alamo Ritz. A pretty technically great theater.
Yeah.
That print looked like shit.
Yeah, it was pretty dark at times, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure, well, Andrew Dominik likes the digital over the 35. So, yeah. I love 35mm when it's done right, but it's never done right. The prints always look terrible.
Yeah.
Digital is great.
Yeah, I'm not down with the scratchy stuff and the damaged prints. Like, I don't see the romance in that.
I don't either.
Yeah. Oh, well.
That's enough rant over.
All right. My rant is festival related. Vancouver International Film Festival has some of the worst behaved audiences I've seen anywhere. And that includes free screenings.
Preach, brother.
Yeah. The people that need to get their seats, they're just like fucking rats, man. Like, there were times where I legitimately put my coat down on my seat, and I was sitting down, and I had somebody like trying to tell me that's my seat, or you know, they're trying to put their hand on the seat, claiming the seat. And I'm just like, I'm already here, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, privileged people who have been to this festival for 20 years that think they deserve something just for showing up.
It was,
I hate you,
pretty much. It was very frustrating. I got into a lot of arguments with people.
Yeah.
I actually had to shout at a couple people, like, fuck you. Like, one time I had an aisle seat. Well, I always go for the aisle seat. I let a group of about five or six people in. I stood up, got out of their way. And one of them tried to sit in my seat. And I was like, oh, I'm sitting there. She's like, you should put something there then. And she just snapped at it and just looked at me with this look of just pure disgust. And I was like, wow, I was just getting out of your way so you could get to one of the seats in the middle, like, fucking calm down. So, I don't know. That's all I have to say.
I've been to that festival for 13 years now, and I'm so used to it. But after going to Fantastic Fest, where everybody's just really chill and cool, it was really apparent this year.
Oh, yeah.
I hate the people that go to that film festival. Other than the core people that we hang out with, they're all really cool.
Oh yeah, Marina and Zach.
Yeah, all those.
Lisa.
They're all cool, but it's just fuck all of you people who think that you deserve something because you really don't.
Yeah, that's right.
Other than me, like punching you in the goddamn mouth.
That's right.
Yeah.
I just learned I have to keep a. It's hard to brush it off. So I just kind of played with it and kind of told them to fuck off. Was in my seat. So rant over.
If they're going to be dicks, you be dick.
That's right. Yeah. So, that's Viv and the people who attend. I guess we better get into some Viv coverage because you saw tons of films of Viv. I saw some. And if you do want to listen to more in-depth conversation of the Viv films, Bill is kind of the... How do you put it? The correspondent.
Festival reporter.
Festival reporter for after the credits at row3.com.
We did three podcasts, and I swear you can hear me get progressively worse throughout every podcast to the point, the last one, I don't remember recording it.
Yeah.
I was really out of it.
Yeah. I even, like, you and Marina said something on the podcast about me, and I was like, dude, what up? What's up with that? And you're like, I don't even remember saying that.
So, yeah, that's awesome. I was in a really bad way that night.
Yeah. Oh, it was, you guys were busting my chops for crying at Whiplash and the Ghibli film.
Kaguya?
Yeah. Nice. I was like, come on, those are films that... That'll break down the hardest of the hardcore. Man, even me.
I got a little misty. We'll say that at Wild.
Oh yeah,
but that movie's my jam. So
yeah, those Wild's great.
Oh, I love those kinds of movies. But, you're a big softy, man.
I am. I won't deny that at all. So did you want to get into some Viv coverage? You have some stuff you wanted to talk about.
I got a top five and I got a bad movie.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I wrote down my top three because I only watched about 15 films there. So
okay.
I'll jump in at number three.
Okay, I'll start at number five. This little Australian film called The Infinite Man. A really cool time travel film set around a romance about an anniversary. And how this man and woman go back to the place they were the year before, trying to recreate their anniversary, except for he's like a scientist and invents a time machine, and he has no idea what he's doing, and fucks the timeline up. They're all really stupid.
Yeah.
And it gets really convoluted, and it gets really cool, and just when you think it's not going to work, it really works.
Sweet.
And it's really fun. That one snuck up on me. Saw it out of the blue. Yeah. Wasn't even on my schedule.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Yeah, love that film. Number four, the closing gala of VIFF, Whiplash, which opens... It's open now in select cities. I think it goes wider in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Miles Teller, J.K. Simmons. Miles Teller is a band student in a prestigious music university, and he wants to get better, so he tries to... impress J.K. Simmons, who is a Nazi.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people compare him to Arlie Emery from Full Metal Jacket, but he's a lot more cruel than guy, the drill sergeant. Cruel.
It goes places you don't think it's going to go, and my God, the last 10 minutes of that film, you guys are not ready.
No.
You're not even close.
Yeah.
Good luck.
It's intense.
It's intense.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll jump in real quick. This is my number two of Viv.
Sure.
The Damien Chazelle wrote and directed this film. He wrote Grand Piano, which is a thriller.
Another damn good film.
Yeah, it's a great thriller that's surrounded on music. And a lot of people compare him to De Palma and stuff, and I can see that. But I just want to sit back and enjoy his career. He's off to a really good start, so I'm really... I'll sign up for anything he does. Yeah.
Grand Piano is super underrated.
Yeah.
I love that film.
Yeah, really great film. Whiplash, just right from the opening frame, it's super tense. Doesn't let you go for the whole runtime. Just a hell of an experience. And it's not played off as a mystery or any kind. No. Like, we're looking at one of two outcomes, basically, right?
Yeah.
And if you kind of guess correctly on a 50-50, it's not a predictable ending. It's just a hell of a film, hell of an experience, just a great time in the movies. So.
And Adrian cried.
I did. I'll tell you when.
All right. Number three. The Palme d'Or winner, Winter Sleep from Neri Bilge-Ceylan. It's really long. It's really slow. And if you're not into that kind of film, this probably isn't your film. It's very lyrical. Lots of people talking. It's really beautiful. Amazing. Every shot in that film is a painting.
Sweet.
I really loved it. But then I'm like, I can't tell people to watch this film. It's like 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And nothing happens for 45 minutes.
Oh, really?
And it's really brutal, but it got me hook, line, and sinker. I can't even really tell you what it's about because I think I would ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
There's some pretty cool stuff in it. But yeah, tread lightly on that one.
Cool.
It's really long, and you're either really going to love it or you're really going to hate it.
Yeah, that's one I can't wait to see. I actually left a couple hours before it started, but whatever.
Yeah. My number two.
Oh, wait, hang on a sec. I've got a number three.
Oh, shit.
My number three is Welcome to Me, the Kristen Wiig film.
This was on my top five until I saw Whiplash.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Just really great. It's the basic premise is Kristen Wiig plays a woman who is, what does she have?
Personality disorder.
Personality disorder. She's an Oprah super fan. She has countless videotapes of Oprah shows that she watches over and over, and also a bunch of like power speaker kind of, you know, those shows that we watched when we were, you know, in the 90s, late at night and stuff.
Yeah, infomercials at like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, she's all about that world. She wins the lottery.
She wins $83 million.
Yeah. And with that money, she goes to a network/show and says, how much do I need to get my own show? And they tell her, and she writes a check on the spot. And she has her own show, and they're like, what's it going to be about? She's like, it's going to be about me.
Yeah, the TV show is called Welcome to Me.
Yeah. And she insists on entering the show on a swan. And that's about all I want to say about the show. It is hilarious. It's a satire that I think some audiences will struggle with because they're not familiar with the, you know, satire and reality. And
I pity them because this movie is hilarious.
It is so funny.
Yeah, one of the funniest films I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, and Wiig is great. Like, she's played a crazy character before, but her performance is very reserved here. She's very in control. You're rooting for her the whole time. No matter what kind of crazy things she's doing on screen.
Oh, and she's crazy.
Yeah. She really, really goes for it.
Yeah. Love, love, love that film.
Yeah. So, that's my number three. And number two is Whiplash. So, I guess your number two?
My number two is Wild Tales. Six short stories made by a comic genius. The thing is, I would tell you about these six shorts, going blind. This is the funny film of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It is hilarious. The opening sketch is like 3 minutes long, and it's the best 3 minutes of film I've seen this year.
No way.
It is so good.
Nice.
The whole damn thing is like these shorts where you're like, why did nobody think of this before?
Really?
Then the next one starts. Why didn't somebody think of this before? Like, it is unreal. Sony Pictures Classics has it, and then they're going big with it. It's going to be a foreign film nominee. It's amazing.
Nice.
Yeah, go in blind. Don't even watch the trailer.
Do you know what country it's from? Just curious.
Spain, I think.
Oh, I see. That's cool. Right on.
I probably should know that.
Wild Tales. I put you on the spot there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, my brain's still a little mushy.
Yeah. Yeah, so Wild Tales. And that played at the VIF sort of... what did they have after the festival? They had like the repeats.
Yeah.
So it played there and
sold out right away.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Everybody I talked to, because a lot of people didn't see my number one film because they only had one screening of it. And a bunch of people didn't get in. Everybody I talked to was like, Wild Tales, Wild Tales.
No way. That's awesome.
But the people who did get into the number one film.
Yeah.
Everybody had as a number one.
Oh, yeah. Me included. Yeah. Take it away. What's your number one?
My number one is Xavier Dolan's Mommy.
Sweet. Mine too.
Yeah. just a wonderful, holy shit experience of film. The movie starts and you think it's a gimmick. Hasn't shot it in the regular widescreen format. He shot it in like 1:1 aspect ratio, which is like a square.
Yeah, so it's taking up just a middle portion of the screen.
I have a feeling people are going to like project this film wrong and it's going to fuck everything up.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah. A mother and a son and a friend and their relationship and just how life can be really strange and weird and beautiful. Led by Xavier Dolan, who's just becoming a really damn good filmmaker.
Yeah.
Really honest and raw. And not a false note in the film. It's really rare when I see a film and it takes my breath away. And there's stuff in this film, once it happens, I just stop breathing. Just like, oh my God, this is just unreal.
Yeah.
I think it's second or third best film I've seen this year.
Yeah.
This year, all of a sudden, has become really damn good.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, like my top five this year are like number one films in any other year.
Oh, big time.
It's like they're perfect.
Yeah.
But there's a couple that are like out of this world good.
Yeah.
But I have no idea when it's opening here.
It's open in Vancouver
right now. It's open in Vancouver already. Yeah. It's open in Quebec. It's a huge hit in Quebec.
Yeah.
It's Canada's foreign film nominee.
Yeah.
And it's the best damn film I saw. Jeez, probably in the last 3 or 4 VIFFs.
Oh, really?
Like nothing. I think so highly of this film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Not even close.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Like,
We walked out of it. Everybody around us was like, yeah. Best film of IF.
Yeah.
It's like a weekend.
Yeah, it was pretty early into the festival. Yeah, we were just like, yeah, that it's going to take a hell of a film to knock that off for number one. And for me, it was just, as you mentioned, very breathtaking, powerful performances. And each scene is more intense than the last. Like, it's just, the emotions are just welled up. And it's a nice balance, too. Like, it's not all intensity. It's quiet human moments. Extreme human moments. Too. It's very funny,
yeah.
Very sad, very everything, yeah. Everything in between. And there's one sequence that we won't spoil because we're not shitheads. There's one sequence in particular during this film that will go down as my favorite cinematic sequence this year. I don't know if it'll end up as my number one of the year, but that sequence just fucking blew my hair back, man. I was just like, I was all choked up, and I was just like, yeah. What's happening to my body right now?
Yeah, yeah. Just because it's so not what you expect.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be there. And then all of a sudden it happens, and it's just like, wow.
And why hasn't anybody done that before?
Yeah, yeah. Just, yeah, unreal.
Yeah. I
love that film.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. Mommy is just
a
phenomenal film. I wanted to see it this weekend. I wanted to take Sarah to see it, but my body said, no, you're going to sleep for, I think I slept for about 15 or 16 hours or something. It's like, well, I guess we can't go now.
But it's weird. I tried to watch movies in the theater 2 days after we got back, and it was a mistake. My eyes were really fucked up, and it was bad news. I went to the movies yesterday, and I was all good. I watched 3 movies.
Yeah. And it was like it was nothing.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Like,
it's awesome.
And there was no going for seats, no politics. I went to Silver City. I saw an IMAX movie. I had a reserved seat. I showed up 1 minute before it started. It was beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the movie probably started on time, right?
It totally did.
Yeah. Which is something that's always one of the enemies of any film festival.
Yeah. So we have a bad one for BIFF too, eh?
Yeah, we both wrote down the worst film of the festival, and I think we both have the same one.
I think we probably do. Pretty much everybody I know who was at that screening had the same one.
Yes, Songs She Wrote About People She Knows, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Just a bad movie.
It's a little BC film, yeah. And I don't like beating up on these films, but 10 seconds into this film, this woman starts singing, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. She's singing deadpan, monotone.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be funny, right?
Oh, sure.
The friends and family in the crowd, they were having a great time.
Yeah, that's the problem with Viv. You go to a few of these screenings, and it's just cast and crew and friends. And, yeah. Like, five pass holders.
Yeah.
And my God, are they stuck.
Yeah. And everybody, they're all howling and having a great time, and I'm kind of going, man, I wish I could enjoy this film the way they are, but this film has just had nothing going for it.
No. The characters have meant nothing to you. Bad songs. A lead actress who, like, would disintegrate if she smiled.
Yeah.
Any character in this film, I would punch in the face.
Yeah, including Dave.
Yeah, Asshole Dave.
Asshole Dave.
Yeah.
The running joke that was never funny.
There was a song called Asshole Dave.
And they played it as a running joke the whole movie.
Yeah.
And it was never funny
No.
the whole time. Basically, she finds some group that, instead of communicating to their friends and family by saying, hey, here's the problem I have with you, or here's a concern I have, they sing songs to their friends and family. And they sing a song saying, you know, you're an asshole, Dave.
Yeah.
And it's like, and she sings to this one lady. It's never clarified who she is. But she threatens her life. She says, I feel like killing you, and I'm going to kill you. And the cops actually show up, and they're like, yeah, you need to stop leaving death threats. And she's like, I'm just expressing myself. They're like, oh.
Sounds so much better than it is.
Well, the premise sounds great, yeah. But it's so terrible. It's shit. It is shit.
The best part and the funniest part of the entire film was Adrian and I busing home from the theater after watching the film, and the director and the star were sitting beside us, taking the bus home after the world premiere of their film.
Oh, I know, dude. Yeah, that's gotta sting a little bit.
BC film at its finest.
That's right.
I don't like beating up on BC film, but
yeah,
that film blew.
It did, big time.
It's the only film I rated 0 stars at the festival.
Yeah, I really wanted to walk out, but we had a movie to watch after
that. I'm watching that. Yeah. Badge of Honor film.
Yeah, that's right. So you have some other notes for Viv, right?
Yeah, just
some
other really quickly
stuff you wanted to talk about.
The Tale of Princess Kaguya, you saw it at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah, love that
I
movie.
I caught up with it at Viv. Stunning stuff. Probably Studio Ghibli's last film. Just amazing animation. Like, nothing you've ever seen before.
Yeah, so yeah.
It looks like it's hand-drawn by a 4-year-old.
Yeah, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
And when I say that, I don't give it justice. Like, in motion, it is stunning. Yeah, I didn't cry. I'm not a wuss like Adrian.
No way.
It's really damn good.
Yeah.
It's just not, like, Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind good, or My Neighbor Totoro good. Studio Ghibli is the pinnacle. And even when they hit a triple, it's still really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great film.
Yeah, it's damn good.
Highly watchable, beautiful visuals, beautiful story. And a lot of people eat it up. Like, it's better than all the crap that Disney's putting out these days and Disney, Pixar, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, all them.
Yeah, it destroys anything marketed for North American audiences.
It's out now.
Oh, that's right.
Everybody check it out. It's pretty amazing stuff. A really damn good genre film called It Follows. I saw it twice at VIFF. I liked it that much.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah, it's another one of those, like, why didn't we think of that idea? Is a sexually transmitted boogeyman.
That's right. Yeah.
And you have to get rid of it, you have to have sex with another person and pass it to them. Except for maybe the woman has a bit of a conscience and won't do it.
Won't sleep around. What the hell?
No. Good stuff. I love a good genre film. Especially when I'm watching all these, like, super serious myth films. This was a nice... I saw it again because I was in a bit of a hole.
Yeah.
Saw a bunch of bad films. I'm like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go see It Follows.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. We should also comment on the Rio Theater and Altered States program.
Yeah, Curtis Wasichuk just killing it this year. He's the programmer. Every film I saw, I saw pretty much all of them. I didn't see one of them.
Yeah.
There was like 10. I saw 9 of them.
Yeah.
They were all great.
Yeah.
And even if they weren't great, it was something that actually kind of worked, and I was happy I saw.
Cool.
Which is a hell of a lot better than every VIF film I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Because I went a couple days without seeing something good.
Yeah. Yeah, same here, and I was there for like 6 days or whatever. That was brutal.
I felt bad for you, man. You had a bad trip, man.
That was terrible.
You took the wrong acid, man. That's true. Wild, Jean-Marc Vallée follow-up to Dallas Buyers Club with Reese Witherspoon as a hiker.
Yeah.
I love these kinds of movies. People trying to find themselves by taking a trek.
Yeah, soul-searching.
I could watch a movie like this any day of the week. And I love this movie. I love Tracks. I love Into the Wild. I love this film. Here's the thing. This film is not Tracks. This film is not Into the Wild. This film was pretty brutal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It starts up with the opening sequence. It's like, holy shit.
10 seconds in, it's pretty hardcore already.
There were people, like, squirming and, like, turning their heads away. And they're like, holy shit.
Yeah. I said this before to you and to other people. Reese Witherspoon is really great, and the dirtier she got, the hotter she was to me for some reason.
Oh, totally. I fully agree with you there. Yeah.
She's getting foxier in her older age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love that film. Opens in December.
Yeah.
Foxcatcher. Really wish you could have seen Foxcatcher.
Yeah, it played the day after I left.
Yeah, it's also really damn good. Really quiet, serene, very measured. Everybody is really good performance-wise. It's about wrestling, but it's about more than that. And try not to know what it's about.
Yeah, I've heard many people say, go in ice cold if you can.
Because at my screen, you could tell people who didn't know because they screamed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really harsh stuff. Damn good film, though. Really good film. Documentary called Red Army.
Oh, yeah.
About Slava Fetisov, who was a top defenseman for the Russian Red Army team in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s.
Yeah.
Defected with a bunch of Russians to North America. He played for the New Jersey Devils for a couple of years. Then he played for my Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And he won the cup.
That's
first
right.
First cup in a very long time.
Yeah.
I hold Slava Fetisov very highly.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of good Red Wing stuff in this movie, so.
Cool.
I love this film. It's really good.
Right on. I heard tons of praise. I was really sad I couldn't see that one.
Yeah, and the last film I have written down, we already talked about, but I'll say it again. You really got to say, Welcome to Me.
Oh, yeah.
It is really damn good.
Yeah.
Really damn good.
Really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
I'll go through really quickly the movies, the other movies I saw at VIF. That maybe weren't that great or whatever. Or maybe I liked them okay. The Vancouver Asahi, Japanese produced film about a baseball team based out of Vancouver.
Oh.
Set in the 30s where Canadian Caucasian men were practically Nazis.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And hey, did you know that the Japanese struggled to make ends meet? They only got paid half wages, treated it unfairly, both in life and at work, and they were ridiculed for baseball because they were smaller, they were half the size, and they really just drive all the points home, beat you over the head for like an hour and a half, and then the baseball starts, and the baseball stuff is stupid. It's a very bad movie, which is a shame because you really enjoyed it, the previous film for that filmmaker, right?
Yeah, he made a movie last year called The Great Passage, which is one of my top 10 of last year.
Yeah.
The thing about this film is that the plot needs to be told just by a better filmmaker and a better script, better acting, better everything.
Yeah.
It's really bad.
It's terrible. I thought in the hands of Sion Sono, it would have been pretty fucking sweet. But can't get what you want. Oh, well.
Tokyo Tribe, never ever die.
That's right. I also saw Men, Women, and Children, the latest from Jason Reitman. It's absolute dog shit.
Sucks.
I hated it. I hated it so much. It carries a really good message about how technology is killing friendships, relationships, self-confidence, self-image. But this plays out like a whole bunch of facts of life, after-school specials, mashed up, undercooked, underdeveloped, with just irresponsible storytelling. It's just so stupid. It's so dumb. It's like all the worst after school specials you watched in the 80s and went, wow, that was fucking dumb. That's Men, Women, and Children.
Yeah, what he said.
I don't want you to see it. Skip that piece of garbage. I really hope Reitman comes back with something great.
I actually read something about Men, Women, and Children today. It had like the fourth worst opening of all time on films that went wide. It opened on 600 screens. It made $400,000.
Word's out on this one.
Yeah, it's got some stink.
Yeah.
Shucks.
Oh, darn. It's 2 days, one night, which I liked, didn't love, really elevated by another stellar performance from Marion Cotillard. And without her, you know, I hate dealing with what ifs, but if it wasn't for her,
this film's nothing.
This film really has nothing going for it beyond her. It's commentary on like
she literally walks around talking to coworkers for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Trying to save her job. That is the entire film.
Yeah. There's no curveballs. No. There's no nothing. Gives you something to chew on for a little bit, but yeah, it's really a performance that carries it. If you enjoy great performances, check it out on Netflix when it comes out on Netflix. I saw Black Fly, which I think I enjoyed a little bit more than you.
You did.
It's a BC film, loosely inspired by true events. It is, according to the Q&A. They don't sell it in the marketing.
Oh my god.
But on the Q&A, the director, writer, Jason Bourque, talked about a serial killer who was on the loose on the East Coast. But this one's set in some island in BC that isn't quite named. It's got some cool little genre moments.
Why have plot?
That's right. It's got some cool moments. It takes too long to get going. But I had fun with it. I thought it was suspenseful, exciting at times. And I really enjoyed the lead actor drawing a blank at this time. But I had fun with Black Fly. I liked it.
Next.
And I saw The Editor, caught up with that at the Rio. It's one of the late night screenings I saw. Oh, the only late night screening I watched there. A lot of fun. Astron 6, right?
Astron 6.
Oh, man, those guys are crazy.
Makers of the mighty Manborg.
Manborg. Oh, and if you haven't seen Manborg, you got to get on that. And then see, I haven't seen their second feature film.
They have more than a few.
Yeah.
They made one last year called Father's Day.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah,
my
that's
God, that was of. Whacked.
Yeah, yeah. And The Editor is their latest entry, and it's great. But yeah, that's about all I have for VIF lightning stuff.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
So overall, shit fest?
Yeah, it was disappointing for me, for sure.
I always say this to people, you gotta watch a lot of shit to see some good stuff at VIF. And I watched a lot of shit.
Yeah, it was a shame because Fantastic Fest, sure, they screen a lot less films, but my batting average was way higher there.
The quality was a lot higher at Fantastic Fest.
But oh well, we'll be back next year.
I totally are. I've been going for too many years to stop now.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm taking it easy next year.
Yeah.
120 films.
That's right. That's right. Did you have anything else to add before we wrap our festival coverage?
No, I'm good.
Wicked.
I'm done with fests for the next month.
Next month, we go back to Whistler.
Yep.
December 4th, is it?
Something like that.
Yeah. Go back to Whistler for a weekend, and we'll be there with our friends and having fun and recording probably at least one podcast.
Trying not to freeze our asses off.
That's right.
-15 last year.
Oh, last year was cold, man.
Oh,
I
don't even want a jacket.
That's right. Yeah. I recorded, I think, one or two vines, and one of them was just me going, oh my God, I'm so cold. Yeah. So yeah, I guess we're ready to move on. Okay, so I guess we should get into some main reviews. And
that's so cool, talking about regular films.
I know, that everyday people can go see. It's weird. Guess we should talk. Let's start with Fincher's latest film, Gone Girl. What did you think of Gone Girl?
Oh, it was really good.
Yeah.
I think everybody's read the book, right?
I think.
Except for you.
Not me. Definitely not me.
I read the book.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. A girl and a guy get married. The girl, Ben Affleck is wanting to divorce the girl, and on the morning he's about to do it, the girl disappears.
Yeah.
and he gets blamed for it because he's a natural douchebag. Yes, Ben Affleck, you're a douchebag.
That's hard to believe. I don't buy it.
It's like the most perfect role for Ben Affleck.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And lots of stuff happens after that. And go see the film. There you go.
Yeah, go see it. I love this one.
Twice?
I saw it twice.
Yeah.
I went to see it by myself because I was the day after I got back from VIF on the final day. I was like, well, Sarah's away. I'm home alone. I'll go see Gone Girl. I'll finally go see the new Fincher. I loved it.
I took off during VIF and saw it. A regular screening during VIF.
So
weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed all the usual suspects, you know, like the eerie score from Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. And I thought each actor was just on top of their game. Like, I wish I wrote names down, but pretty much anybody who had a speaking part in that movie was great, including Tyler Perry, which I didn't see coming. I heard all about his performance in there going in, but man, he nailed it. I had a really great time with this.
So you got Ben Affleck as the husband. You got Rosamund Pike, who's never been better.
Oh, yeah.
She's spectacular.
She's great.
As the wife. Ben Affleck's sister is played by Carrie Coon.
Okay, yeah.
Who's on one of my favorite shows of the year, The Leftovers.
Oh, right.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who thought that?
The guy from the Medea movie.
Yeah. Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, he's superb in this one.
Yeah. Emily Ratajkowski.
Right.
How the hell you say her name?
Oh, yeah. Is she the detective?
No, she's the Ben Affleck's girlfriend.
Oh, right, right.
The one with the breasts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's distinctly a Fincher film. Funny thing you say that. When we got out of Whiplash, I said it was very Fincher.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Like Social Network.
Oh, yeah.
This one, it's a lot more calmer than the normal Fincher. There's not that, like, giant crane shots of cars going across a bridge.
Yeah.
It's like Fincher for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, truly. Yeah.
And, you know, he's probably one of the best directors working today. And, I think it's really cool that he takes on this, he elevates stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Just with his natural ability. The book, I liked the book. I thought the book was pretty good.
Yeah.
I thought the movie was better.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's the first I've heard that.
Yeah. I've heard a couple people say it.
Oh, is that right?
The book has a different tone.
Oh, okay.
And I like the movie's tone better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. I enjoyed the pacing, the editing of this film. It's just highly watchable. And it's over 2 hours long. And it to me, it didn't feel that long. And some people complain about, like, Fincher's sort of five act structure, but I love it. He makes it work, you know. Like,
what is with Fincher and title cards?
I don't know. I don't know.
Monday.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Gone plus one day or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah, I had a really good time with it. Glad I watched it. Glad I watched it twice. People at work are loving it. That rarely happens when people at work love a film that I love. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'll check it out again later. I don't think I need to see it again right now.
Yeah, don't need to rush out and see it. There's a lot of other stuff to see very soon.
It's made some money.
Yeah. Yeah, it's doing very well. I think it's on pace to be his most profitable film.
That's cool.
Which is cool. I'm all for it. Any closing thoughts on Gone Girl?
It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. I had one last thing I wanted to say is that it's a lot more scary than I thought. And it's not scary in the sense of...
What?
Not scary in the sense of, oh my God, what's behind that door or whatever. It's just, I felt so creeped out the whole time. It was just like the hair on the back of my neck was sticking up and felt very uneasy while watching this film.
You felt bad for Ben Affleck, and you were like, poor Ben Affleck.
Not even close.
He's getting screwed over. I'm creeped out by that.
Yeah, sort of. But anyway, really enjoyed Gone Girl. Check it out.
That's definitely a good film.
Yeah.
Liked it.
On to this weekend's releases, Fury from David Ayer. Yeah, he does mostly like Los Angeles-based films.
Cop films.
Yeah, cop films. But here he is doing a World War II tank battle film.
This almost felt like something like Antoine Fuqua should have done, but he made a shittier film.
Oh, what was that?
The Equalizer.
Oh, shit. I walked out of that
movie. We'll talk about that in a minute.
We will. Fury, I'm so down the middle on this one. What happens? Brad Pitt runs a tank crew. He loses his gunner. And Logan Lerman plays Logan Lerman in a tank movie.
Fresh off the boat.
He's had basic training. He's had zero training in tank stuff. And we learn a little bit about the previous gunner, but we basically learn that war is violent and hell and gory and gross. Body parts fly, faces fly, blood splashes. Man, this is a nasty movie.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool violence in the film.
Yeah, the violence is top notch.
The thing about the film really kind of works when they're doing tank stuff.
Yeah, the tank stuff I thought was the best.
It's just when they stop.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, like, you don't have any of the character building or moments that you have from, like, End of Watch or Training Day. Even the Fast and Furious, I thought, had better camaraderie and friendship than this one. What else do I have
here? Yeah, it's like their idea of plot when they're not in the tank is for all the people in the tank to be assholes.
Yeah.
Except for Logan Lerman and Brad Pitt.
That's right.
And Brad Pitt plays, like, Dad.
Yeah, his name in the movie is War Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really hard one to recommend. If you like tanks, you'll really enjoy the action. But I thought the characters were very one-dimensional. And I was really hoping for more out of David Ayer, because he usually does characters so well. But not this time.
Terrible ending, too.
There's a bit at the end where I just wanted to go... you. I just wanted to like stand up and yell at the screen. Oh man, I was so mad.
I usually wouldn't say terrible ending, but it's a really bad ending.
It's bad.
I can't recommend this film at all. Yeah. I really can't.
Yeah.
I really wanted to like it. Like, yeah. The tank stuff is really cool.
Yeah.
Lots of good battle scenes, but there's some stretches in this film where I wanted to walk out.
Yeah. Yeah. Notably, there's a 20-minute scene that's just so out of place and just pulls the film down even more. And it builds to something that is just not worth the time they spent on that. It was just, I was disappointed, very disappointed walking out of that film.
I say two thumbs down.
I give it one thumb up and one thumb down. One for the action and one for everything else.
See? You are a softie.
A softie. No way, dude. A lot of people love this movie. And a lot of people I talked to, well, not, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but a few people I spoke with loved that scene that we both hated. And I was just like, dude, that scene is garbage.
Yeah, fuck them.
Fuck them, pretty much. I don't know. I don't think we have anything else to talk about with Fury. If you liked it, let us know. We'd love to hear your thoughts, and we'd love to tell you why you're wrong.
Actually, it'll probably be me telling you why you're wrong.
Yeah.
Because Adrian's a softie.
And me going, oh yeah, I can see your point there. Yeah. You make a good point. Maybe in a big pussy.
You swayed me. I now love the film.
I now love the film. I'm going to delete my tweets about it. Next up, the other film that came out this weekend, The Book of Life, an animated film. Didn't write anything in terms of director or actors or anything on this. What did you think of The Book of Life, and what's it about?
Love. It's about love.
Yeah. Yeah. Love, life, and death.
Yeah. Three young children, two male, one female. The two males love the female, and the female leaves. And when she comes back, they're trying to win her heart.
Oh, I've never heard that story before.
No, this has never happened before. But this is animated.
It is. Yeah, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. There's like this really weird subplot about these like two, like, I don't even know what they really are. They're like demon?
Oh, one runs.
One's an angel, one's a demon? Something?
They go in great detail about it. One of them runs...
Yeah, I totally figured it out. The great detail they said.
Yeah. Well, no, they did talk about it a lot. It was the Dave the Dead, right?
Yeah.
And one of them, the female character, she runs the realm where the remembered go when they pass to the next world.
Yeah, I know that part, but you didn't really say what they were.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Ron Perlman plays the character who runs the world where the forgotten go and they wash away, and it's depressing.
They have a bet.
Yeah.
Each of them picks one of the guys and says, my guy is going to get the girl, and they have this bet, and the Ron Perlman character, the guy, cheats, and one of them dies. And he goes to the realm of the what?
Yeah, the remembered.
There you go.
Sees all his family. Yeah. It's bright and beautiful.
Yeah, well, that's just the thing. Like, the film looks amazing.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty cool. Like, the whole, like, as you were saying, it's really hard to film death.
Yeah, totally.
And the guy dies. He goes to the place of the remembered, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Tries to win his way back up to get his love.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
This isn't a kid's movie.
You don't think so, eh?
I don't think so.
See, what I would love to see is for families to use that as sort of a way to teach their children, at least as a guide on how to deal with life and death, because death is such a hard thing to deal with, especially for children. You know, if their grandparent dies or dog dies, you can say, hey, they're going to this world or whatever.
But the problem with that is that the animation is I think, a little bit strong for kids at times.
That's true.
Yeah, some of it is rather interesting looking. We'll just say that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty hardcore stuff in this one.
Yeah. I don't think it's a kid's film, and I don't think some adults are going to like it. I liked it.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
As I said, the animation is top notch.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the realm of the remembered.
That's right. Yeah, that world is just so beautiful and so stunning. I loved just the vibrant colors. And when they went there, I felt just so much joy and happiness. And just from a personal perspective, I thought this was a very personal and intimate message that from the writer and the director to saying, hey, you know, maybe this is what death is like when grandma and grandpa pass away. Because I've lost a lot of family over the years, and if that's the way it is, that's awesome. I'm not saying I agree with it or disagree with it, but I thought it was a beautiful way of looking at it. And I hope some families find comfort in that and have a good time with it.
Adrian is obviously a Mexican bull rider.
I am. That's right.
No, I agree. I think it's I think it's a pretty nice piece of work.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be a kid's film.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a kid's film. And I think people are going to see it's an animated film and they're going to take their kids to it. And they're going to be like, holy shit, why did we take our kids to this?
That's true.
Yeah. It's still better than most of the DreamWorks, Disney, whatever films.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
I also think that sometimes there's just a little too much going on, too.
It is. Yeah, that's true. It is a noisy, noisy film.
Yeah, really noisy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a lot going on.
That's a fine film.
Yeah. We probably don't sound too enthusiastic about it, but we did. I think we both did quite enjoy it.
I did.
Yeah. I had fun watching it. So I didn't cry, so.
Wow. Shit.
It's the first movie I've watched in a month that didn't make me cry. Anyway.
He's not kidding, dude. Like, he's both cried.
That's right. I'm the strong, sensitive type, man.
I'm not even going to touch that one.
Anyway, should we move on to some lightning reviews?
Yeah, totally.
You've watched some films since...
Yeah, let's do this quick.
Yeah.
Hector and the Search for Happiness. Hector goes and tries to find himself in the meaning of the word happiness, leaving his beautiful wife, Rosamund Pike, behind. What a dumbass.
He had it right in front of him the whole time.
It's like, she is amazing. She is happiness. It's really fun. But at the same time, I felt kind of bad that I actually liked it, because I'm like, this is really cheesy, but I really like Simon Pegg, and I really like Rosamund Pike, and I like all the Stellan Skarsgård. I love all these people.
Nice.
It's really watchable. Quite liked it.
Cool.
But yeah, felt really bad about liking it.
Yeah.
Alexander and the Terrible Horrible. Blah, 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 blah.
Not very good movie.
Yeah. No, very bad day. Yeah, that's it. it's really long. Yeah. I wrote it down, and my English is terrible, obviously, because I couldn't read it. It's not for me. It's not for you. It's for kids. It was all right. Like, just not for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read this when I was a kid. It's like a 10-page book.
Oh, I see.
And this is like an hour and 45-minute movie. Pads some shit out.
Yeah.
I'm sure kids will like it.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next, The Equalizer.
Ooh.
Before I start, how long did you last?
I lasted about 45 minutes into this movie before I walked out.
Nice.
I hated it. I was so bloody bored. I was just like, oh, wait, I think I heard this was based on a TV show.
It was.
And it feels like it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just waiting for the next episode to start. And man, it's dull.
Yeah, I'm not the audience for this. I hate action films, unless it's John Wick.
Yeah.
Yeah, give John Wick your money.
Yeah.
This one's really bad. I felt bad for Denzel. Chloe Moretz shows up as the hooker with a heart of gold.
Oh, yeah.
And, revenge is taken.
Oh, no.
Gives a shit. Yeah. I should have walked out, but I was seeing something else after it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Judge... A really bad film from the director of Wedding Crashers. Sorry, Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall as father and son who like to yell at each other, but we're going to get good by the end of the film. My dad might have killed somebody, and I'm a lawyer, and I'm going to defend him, and nobody cares. Nobody cares.
Just before you start real quick, I saw a poster that said, defend your honor, and I was like, oh, that's terrible. Because he's a judge, right?
Yeah.
He's defending his honor. It's a play on words.
Yeah. Yeah, this film got killed at Toronto. It was the opening film, and now I know why. It's really terrible.
No, brutal.
Avoid that one, like The Plague.
Yeah.
The Maze Runner.
Hello, Greedy.
Yeah, young adult, yo, young adult. Yeah, I'm done. I'm done with young adult until Katniss comes in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'll sign up for Katniss.
Yeah, I'll sign up for Katniss.
Yeah,
it's not terrible. It's kind of watchable, but I don't care anymore.
Yeah,
they're all the same damn film.
Yeah, and I heard the ending is terrible.
Yeah,
terrible.
There's supposedly more coming. It made money.
Yeah,
hopefully it comes during a film fest.
Yeah, we can skip it like I did.
Yeah. Dracula Untold.
Unwatched.
Dude. Better than I thought it was going to be.
Really?
I still didn't really think it was good. But it's better than I thought it was going to be. It's kind of watchable.
I Frankenstein watchable?
No. You bastard.
Love that shit.
I know you do. It's not as bad as everybody says it is. I saw it on this giant IMAX screen, and the sound was huge, and bats flying everywhere and blood, and it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
People are just, people are mean sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody said it was bad and everybody ganged up on it. It's not that bad. Check it out maybe on Netflix or VOD or something.
I'm picturing a poster with your quote on it. It's not that bad.
It's totally not. I mean, what else am I going to say?
Yeah.
And that's actually it for me.
I had one I wanted to briefly mention for lightning round, Annabelle, which is the prequel to The Conjuring.
It's part of the female doll.
Yeah, it's about the female doll, and I liked it. It was better than I was expecting. The trailer didn't really do much for me. And
did you just give me shit for saying that Dracula was better than I was expecting? Son of a bitch.
I sort of liked it. Adrian Charlie. Green screen of death. I thought it had better scares than the Babadook. Like, there's this...
Fighting words, man.
Yeah, that's one that I think comes out in November or December. Yeah, I thought it was okay. It was good. I enjoyed it. It was... comparing it to an amusement park ride, it's like you jump on the ride, it lasts for 90 minutes, you forget all about it once you're done, but you had fun while you were on the ride. So
I didn't have fun.
You didn't? Yeah.
No. That was pretty weak sauce.
Yeah.
I'm not nice to shitty horror films. And this was a bad horror film.
Yeah, it's not one I would defend. I wouldn't be like, what are you talking about?
That doll is really creepy, though.
It is.
I don't like that doll at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't like it in The Conjuring. Don't like it in this one.
And it basically is 90 minutes of slow-mo shots and close-ups of the doll.
Yep.
But there are some cool moments with, like, a demon and creepy basement, and that stuff really got me. Preyed on my fear of the dark, I guess.
Babadook, Babadook, Babadook.
No! That movie was not scary, by the way. If you haven't listened to our Fantastic Fest stuff.
No, not even close.
Yeah.
So, is that it?
I think that's a wrap on episode 16.
No, I got something. I got some upcoming films.
Oh, that's right.
And we got a pimp one of them.
Oh, big time.
Big time.
Big time.
Big time. All right, so October 24th. We'll start with a crap film. Ouija.
Right. Yeah.
On to the next film. John Wick.
John Wick, y'all. You gotta see this.
I'm so happy people are gonna finally get to see John Wick. I know we only saw it like a month ago. I really love John Wick.
It's awesome. And you can see it in IMAX.
On Thursday night.
Yeah, I saw it on...
At 10 o'clock.
Yeah. I saw it on the Cineplex... Oh, man. Cineplex website, man. It said, John Wick, the IMAX experience. And I was like, fuck yeah, John Wick.
Dude, IMAX is not ready for John Wick.
No way, dude.
I'm not even close. I love this film.
Yeah.
And I don't like action films.
Yeah.
So if that's like a good endorsement right there, this is so much more than an action film.
It is. It's clever. It's smart.
It's Keanu, man.
It's Keanu kicking ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this film. Yeah. Everybody has to go and see it.
Yeah.
Because as I said during the Fantastic Fest podcast, I need 15 sequels.
Yeah.
Because they're all going to rule.
Oh, totally. It builds a world where they truly could, if it's a big success, build a world where Keanu Reeves could kick ass for the next 20 years.
Totally.
And then maybe pass it on to somebody else.
Because they owe him a dog.
That's right.
All right.
What else?
October 31st, Before I Go to Sleep, with Nicole Kidman as an amnesiac who sort of has a memento thing, but it lasts a whole day instead of like 5 minutes.
Oh, I see.
She has to try to figure out her past and who hit her in the head and gave her amnesia.
Ah.
This has been delayed forever. And I'm kind of thinking I know why.
Sounds like an Oscar grab.
Holy.
Failed Oscar grab.
Yeah. I'll see it. Why not?
Yeah.
I see everything.
Yeah.
And the really good movie of the day, Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler,
yeah. We've also seen this one.
Yes. Jake Gyllenhaal being crazy and creepy and awesome.
Yeah. We've already talked about this one, so we'll keep it really short and sweet.
Yeah.
It's a damn good film.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Yeah. L.A. shot at night. Beautiful. Photography.
Yeah. And if you live in Victoria in a couple weeks, I can get you in for free.
Cool. Yeah, hit up Bill.
Hit me up. I'll have some info on Twitter. And last but not least, November 7th, a movie I know you're really looking forward to, Big Hero 6.
Ugh. I'm going to skip that.
Oh, come on. That movie looks great.
It looks terrible. An inflatable hero that just...
But they put Band-Aids on it. Oh, that looks really cute.
That trailer just makes me roll my eyes every time. I'm just going like, wow, people really want to see this?
This is already screened a lot.
Oh, it has,
People are saying it's amazing.
I don't know. It's hard to trust those LA and New York critics sometimes.
I'm all over that.
Yeah? But I might see it. I don't know.
I have a feeling you'll be seeing Interstellar instead of that.
Oh, yeah. Definitely Interstellar. Yeah. But not in 1570. What the fuck?
Yeah, Christopher Nolan, space movie. Yeah. Okay.
Saving the Earth.
Yeah, we're there.
Yeah, sign me up.
It's going to make $100 million its opening weekend. Yeah. Everybody's going to see it. It's going to be great. Even though I heard it's like 2001, it's going to piss a lot of people off.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
I want to hear people talk about this.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan always gets people going.
He'll, yeah.
Either it's the greatest movie ever, or you'll get some people going, oh, he sucks.
What do you mean the top fell over? does it mean he's alive? Oh, my sorry gosh. If I just spoiled Inception for you. If you haven't seen Inception, f*** you.
Fuck you. Turn this off. Unsubscribe. We don't want you. It's like a Randall kind of stance from Clerks. Yeah.
Here comes Randall. He's a berserker. That's right. I wrote that during Biff as a random tweet.
Yeah.
Don't remember tweeting it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
That's it.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Next 3 weeks right there. Next
3 weeks. Some good stuff.
Yeah, and we will be here to talk about it.
Yeah. Are you going to see Ouija?
I don't know.
You and Sarah see all the shit horror films, dude.
She loves horror films way more than me. I really enjoy them. I probably sound like a jerk saying that because I've been to Fantastic Fest twice and basically see... Well, this year I didn't see all the January, February films. But, yeah, I'll probably end up seeing it. I sound so excited about it, too. Take
one for the team. Yeah. I don't think I'm going to see it.
Okay, I'll take one for the team.
I'll see John Wick 4 times that day.
That's right.
I'll see the IMAX version. I'll see the 2D version. Then the 2D version.
Yeah. The 2D version. That's right. Yeah, so is that it? That's it. Episode 16. Guess we should tell people where they can find us and... I'll take this opportunity just to pimp, you know, where you can find us. We do have a Facebook page. Just run a search in Facebook for The Green Screen of Death. We're on Twitter, @TheGreen_Screen. You can also find us on these popular platforms, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, basically any platform where you can subscribe to a podcast. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death and you'll find us. And also, please leave us a rating and a comment if you listen to us on a regular basis. That'll help us find a wider audience, and we'd love you for it. So
we love you long time.
Yeah, that's right. Bill will. I'll watch.
Wow. All right. All right.
Where can people find you on the internet, Bill?
I'm only at one place, and that is Twitter. I am @SoundJam69. About the multiple platforms that we're on, we still run this shit.
Oh, so we do.
Say that again. One last thing for me before Adrian takes us out.
Yeah.
Chefs on Blu-ray. Got to keep that up.
Yes. And I watched the Blu-ray and it's awesome. Right.
Got to mention Chef Everybody podcast.
That's right. Go buy Chef on Blu-ray because it's amazing.
I was not going to forget that.
Good. I'm glad you mentioned that because I watched it on Blu-ray, loved it all over again.
It's a cheap Blu-ray too. Everybody pick it up. Damn good film.
Oh, and Snowpiercer comes out on Blu-ray next week. Has critic podcasts or critic commentary.
Yeah.
Featuring Scott Weinberg and a bunch of his friends.
Yeah.
Will Goss.
I'm sure they'll screw it up in Canada and we'll get it.
Drew McQueenie, Jen from Deadline, I think. A couple of others. Looks really cool. We say turn the movie off at the 90-minute mark.
I am so broke right now that my trips have destroyed my bank account.
Yeah.
I will not be buying Snowpiercer for a while.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'll lend you my copy, man. Just don't scratch it. So, yeah, certainly hit us up. I'm on Twitter. My name is on Twitter. It's @Adrian_Charlie. And that's with an IE at the end. So I guess we'll take us out here. So once again, thanks to anybody who's listened recently. We have had a little more traffic lately, so we appreciate that. And we hope you stick around. And be sure to say hello. Drop any feedback. Yeah, hit us up. Get the conversation going. So until next time, thanks very much for listening.
Peace.